This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. We got a great show coming up today as we have a great view. We're in the booth staring out over the field. Dave admiring the work of the grounds crew out here, envious of their ability to mow this lawn and put that checkerboard pattern out there and do it consistently. This is the goal for your backyard, right?
You guys saw the picture I sent you where it was my version of the checkerboard.
It didn't quite look like this.
It didn't really pop to the way these did. But you can see that. Where did they come up with these different patterns? You can't see that. I'm on radio. But they have like a thin ones going out, and then center field has the wider swath cut. I don't know how they come up with this.
They can see it. We're on the stream.
Oh, they can.
They can.
Well, if you're on the stream, if you're in your car.
Promote that.
So 710sports.com, is that where they can see
the
beauty of the grounds crew out here? And then they're out here watering the dirt. And what was it you said earlier, Dave? There's a lot of joy to be derived from watering or something.
Yeah, a lot of pleasure. I love watering.
From just water, just standing with a hose and watering something is really, really joyful.
It is, man. It's like you're feeding something. So, yeah, text it in if you feel the same way about your yard. I love going out and watering the lawn.
Do you feel that way when you water the lawn? Are you full of joy? Is it peaceful and serene?
Yeah. I'm growing grass right before my very eyes. It's just beautiful here. I was just commenting. I don't think anywhere in Major League Baseball, in a Major League Baseball city, is there a more beautiful setting than where we are right now.
It's phenomenal. It's just not a cloud in the sky.
Perfect
temperature. It's a perfect day for baseball. By the way, if 25-year-old Dave Wyman heard this, what would he be? Would he roll his eyes about watering the lawn? What are you talking about?
I did a lot of. That was one of the reasons Shannon liked me when I was a bachelor and lived at my house. I did yard work and I decorated for Christmas. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so I've always kind of done that kind of stuff.
I thought this was something that has just come along as you've gotten older and it's become more appealing.
More of an old man thing. There's no question.
And a young Dave Wyman would have rolled his eyes and said, "What is this guy talking about?
Pathetic
watering.
Yeah.
What is that? All right. Well, coming up on the show, we got Mike Blowers will join us at some point, trying to figure out schedule. So he'll be with us, John Clayton, at 4 o'clock, and we should have couple of Mariner players. We're kind of messing with times are a little loose right now, so we'll figure out who and when. So be ready. Just be ready. They're gonna show up at any time. I feel like people are getting sort of excited about this team. They're in first place, Dave.
Yeah.
It's not often we get to say that ever with the Mariners. They're in first place. We'll see how long they stay there. And hopefully with the Astros in town, these dirty, cheating sons of the Mariners will finally be able to get over on them, I hope, because they've got so many players, key players, that aren't going to be part of the proceedings here with Jose Altuve and Bregman, that little creep, and Maldonado, their catcher, who's really good, doesn't hit well, but it was really good catcher. And then there was one other guy who I think was a relief pitcher. But they're missing some key guys in this series. And the Astros are a team, even when the Astros were lousy, when they were losing 100 games in a season, they were sort of like the Rams for the Seahawks. It didn't matter how good or bad they were. They always gave them trouble and could beat them. And that's true of the Astros. And I'm hoping that's where the trend changes this series.
Yeah, well, and without those key players, we'll see how they do. But just as I'm looking out over the grass and the beautiful cut, Bob will be just seething in anger. When they take the field, Bob, you're going to burn holes in them with your eyes.
Yes, I haven't gotten clearance for heckling yet, but I am ready. I'm ready. We've got an open window. We are looking directly down, probably right behind home plate here, and they'll be able to hear very, very well. So as soon as I get the thumbs up, I don't want to upset the Mariners or our bosses. If they give me the green light, they're going to get it.
I know. I asked for this, Bob, from the man, Stanton, John Stanton. I'm like, hey, you want us out here on Fridays? Make it happen. And he made it happen, and you're going to get us kicked out.
I won't betray that trust that he put in us unless he says yes. Let him have it.
Let him have it.
I will. Yeah.
Let it fly.
And hopefully I'll see Correa, that whiny little man. They'll leave us alone. Hey, we've had enough. Meanwhile, and again, we understand it's early. 162 game season. We always have to throw that out there because people will be like, oh, they beat the worst team in the league. And talk to me in 2 months. Okay. It's like you can't wait to be right about them being bad. I've never understood that mentality. I told you they were terrible mentality. Yeah. Like, is there satisfaction in the team that you root for being bad and you saying, told you? I don't get that. Wouldn't you rather be wrong and say, man, I underestimated this team. They are fun to watch. They're competitive. Wouldn't that be a better thing?
Yeah, it's a great. I think that people are cynical and they don't want to put their heart out there and say, you know, they want to say, see, I told you. They just tend to be negative. And, you know, I don't understand why. I feel like it's that they don't want to get their feelings hurt.
They don't want to get burned again.
Yeah.
They don't want to love again.
I'm like, come on. I think Bumpus used the, I was on with him today when he was filling in for Gallant. I think he said, love hard. He said, I'm going to love hard. I'm going to love this team hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not?
Yeah.
What are you going to get your little feelings hurt?
I think that's the worry that you get lured in. I think you feel like you were made a fool of. Yeah. Like, I was foolish to believe this team was going to be good and they were going to be there for me. And they turned their back on me and they fell apart when I trusted them. They blew my trust. I get being cynical about this team. They haven't been to the playoffs in two decades. I totally understand it. But when things are going good, it's okay to enjoy it. It's okay to celebrate that particular moment. And if the wheels come off, then we'll talk about it when it happens. But there, from some of the texts we've gotten, and you guys can text in 710-710. It is Friday, so we'll do mean text coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But from some of them, it's almost as if they can't wait for them to be bad.
Yeah. Oh, talk to me in a couple months. Oh, you guys are a cheerleader.
No, we're just talking about what we've seen to this point, which has been really entertaining. It's been fun to watch this team so far. I'm sorry. Sorry they've been fun. I'm sorry they're in first place. I hope you'll be happy if they slip down to last place. Then you can walk around with a smile on your face.
Yeah, it seems like that doesn't bring people as much joy. If we were negative to call in and say, see, they're great. I told you.
Yeah.
No, it's always the negative side. But I would ask this. I mean, the way that they're winning, they're 3-0 in extra inning games. They're 5-2 away. The way that they've won the games that they've won, it's different, in my opinion, than it was when they started out 13-2, because I think they were part of didn't they have like six different guys hit a home run in a game or something? D. Gordon had something to do with that, and I remember
in the 13-2 start.
Yeah,
yeah, I can't. It sounds vaguely familiar. I can't.
You gotta love baseball, by the way, with the stats.
Oh, I know.
Oh my gosh,
there's 8 million little markers of, you know, only team to have done this before 1 p.m. on a Thursday. And only
okay, so I got one for you from the Mariners. They put a release out. They have three players with multiple saves so far during the 2021 season. Kendall Graveman has two. Kenyon Middleton, two. Rafael Montero, two. And the Mariners joined the 85 Blue Jays as the only team in MLB history with three players with multiple saves after 13 games.
What? And then after 14 games, it'll be a new record.
Record, yeah. But, yeah, you got multiple saves there.
That was your job.
Middleton, Graveman, Montero.
Your job was to find a new record every day.
Yeah.
Something that made what they've achieved to this point in the season unique in a very select club. A very select few have done this. Your job is to find what this is.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's so many stats, and that's where you get all these things. And the Mariners do a great job putting this together. Tonight, we're going to see Yusei Kikuchi, which I think we asked Shannon this the other day. Is this the biggest, like, whew, man, I'm glad this guy, you know, came out and did what he did. He really needed it. And she said, without question, there's nobody close. But he's 12th in the American League with a 67.3% first pitch strike rate. So, yeah, that's another little stat for you. But just got me thinking about Yusei Kikuchi and how that, you know, it's really nice to see him have the kind of year so far anyway that we thought he could, you know, he could be that kind of pitcher. And so it'll be interesting to see if he continues that tonight. Hopefully there won't be any, you know, tomfoolery going on from the Houston Astros where they know what pitch is coming
about
somehow
cheating?
Magically.
Cheating? They're not out there yet. Yeah, hopefully they've learned a lesson. You know, think of the kids. Think of the kids, Dusty. You don't want to set that example for them. Cheating gets you nowhere.
That'd be a great one if you see Dusty out there. Just scream out, what about the kids? Dusty.
I can't heckle Dusty. I love Dusty. I know. It really bothers me that he's taken. I understand it because, all right, he was brought in to right the ship, and, you know, he's got to defend his guys, so I get it. But, man, I think he's a little tone deaf in the way he's approaching it. And it bums me out because I love Dusty, so I don't want to rip him. But what he's doing, I think he's taking the wrong course here. As far as what we've seen, you touched on some of it. You know, we had big-time questions about Kikuchi. Had no idea what Mitch Haniger. If I were going to bet in Vegas, I would have said, yeah, you know, let's see what Mitch does after, you know, a couple months. Let's give him some time. He hasn't played in well over a year. It's almost 2 years since we've seen the guy. He's been healthy. It's going to take him time to get some timing up there and to just get the confidence back at the plate, feel natural. The guy's been a house of fire. He picked up like he'd never missed a moment. To me, that and probably Seager getting off to a hot start, because I think we've been conditioned just to expect, yep, it's April. We'll talk about Seager in May, in June, because April is just one of those months. He just does not start off hot, and he has been red hot. He has won games for him so far. He has been very, very good so far. So hitting just about 300 with a 370 on base percentage, couple of crucial home runs. He's driven in 10. He's been great. Kyle Seager and Mitch Haniger, to me, have been two of the brightest stories so far in a very early part of the season.
Yeah, and two guys that, we talk quite a bit about Mitch just because of his story. It was really interesting, and every time I see him sliding around or getting a hit and, you know, diving and making catches, I think about those workouts where he's holding on to, like, monkey bars and moving his body a certain way. And, you know, he talked about this yesterday. He said he's never felt better. And I said, I might have to look into his workout, but I think it involves diet. And if it does, I'm out.
Did you just count you out?
Yeah, I'm too old for that. So, but, you know, you look at the some of the things that he's done out in the field, and I think he's the most interesting story in this. I mean, I know people are excited for Kelnick, but Mitch Haniger coming back from that and being this kind of player, and, you know, he's back to in 13 games anyway. And by the way, he's reached base safely in all 13 games. So that was another stat they had today. But, you know, having come back from that, and then if he continues, and I'm not saying at this pace because he's batting 321, maybe 956 OPS, but if this continues and he stays healthy, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with him? I mean, I
don't know.
I think you got to keep him around.
I want to keep him unless somebody's ready just to blow your doors off with a crazy trade. But he's a proven commodity. We've got a lot of hope and potential tied up in these young guys. But some of these guys are going to wash out. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think it's Kelnick. He feels like he's the real deal. Same with Julio Rodriguez. We'll see what Kyle Lewis does. We'll see what Trammell does. I mean, I don't know. Are they all going to be stars? Or is somebody going to end up being, they're serviceable, or they're just a rotational type of player? I mean, we're sort of betting, we're sort of assuming every one of these young guys is going to turn into a superstar, so there's going to be no room for him, which would be great on one level because you got youth and they're cheap and you're going to have them for a long time. But at the same time, there's zero assurance of that. Same with your pitchers. You always come in with a lot of potential and promise, and guys wash out. It's just how it goes. And the idea that every one of them are going to turn into superstars is probably not realistic. So keeping that in mind, maybe we shouldn't be in such a hurry for Mitch Haniger to be shipped off somewhere.
Yeah. Well, even if he does, you know, he gets to a point, and I don't know. I don't know how you don't keep this guy on your team, because, I mean, there's a point where you stop trading guys away and hang on to. I mean, maybe he's a really good veteran, maybe in the clubhouse. But like you said, if somebody comes along and just blows your doors off with, you know, two or three great prospects and a proven commodity who's a young guy that's part of that, it'll be tough to turn that down.
Well, let me ask you this, and this will probably get the texters fired up. And it's not intended for that, but I think it's a realistic question. In the text, 710-710, I'm ready for your
fire. And send Bob a mean text as well.
What about picking up the option on Kyle Seager? It's a $15 million option. Right now, you don't have somebody who's pushing that third base spot the way you do the outfield. The way we're talking about Mitch Haniger, all of your prospects, it feels like, are in the outfield. So he's kind of getting squeezed out almost. It makes sense to move on from him on some level, as much as I think they should keep him, and you think the same thing. There is nobody there. You don't have a third baseman of the future right now.
It's true.
In your minor league system. We talk about Ty France potentially being that guy. I don't know if he is. I think he's a great hitter. I think you like him as a DH, and maybe you just keep him on in that role. But what about, you know, we talked about Mitch Haniger being there as a leader, as one of the older guys on the roster and a really young roster being there for leadership. Isn't Kyle Seager exactly that? And in baseball dollars, $15 million is not that much for what he provides defensively, what he gives you pretty consistently every single year, which is 25-plus home runs, drives in close to 100 runs. He's a really, really good defensive player. You don't have the young guy behind him right now. Noelvi Marte is a shortstop currently. Maybe he's somebody they consider, but he's a few years away from playing at the big club level. Yeah. So if they look at him as a potential third baseman in the future, okay, but it's not next year. You don't have a young guy pushing him. So what about the idea of bringing Kyle Seager back?
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, maybe we're jumping the gun. It's 13 games in, and maybe that's what the blowback you're going to get. You know, it'll be, wait, he won't have his slump in the beginning of the season. It'll be later in the season or something. But I think the big part of that is how does he interact with the young guys, and is he a valuable piece to bring some of these guys along? Because, you know, a few weeks ago I would have said, well, Ty France, you know, he's going to be your third baseman of the future. And we talked to Divish, and he said he's a really good DH. What do you think about him at third base? He's a really good DH.
As a third baseman, he's a really good DH. We've seen him boot a ball or two out there at second base. And listen, I think we tend to look past Kyle. And I'm not saying he's a superstar, but he's the best third baseman in the history of this organization. I don't think there's any debate about that. I think he's you know what you're getting with him. The guy's going to hit somewhere in the neighborhood. In most years, you look at his baseball card, he's going to hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 270. He's going to hit you 25-plus home runs and drive in, you know, somewhere around 90. You look at his RBI totals, 96, 99. He's got 77, 78. He's a guy who's just kind of consistently producing and gives you that defense. And we talked about Evan White at first base and how much confidence that gives a pitcher on the hill when you've got somebody like Evan White at first base, and you've got that, your corner spots with that kind of glove, that kind of defense, there's a big time value to that. And again, you don't have the young guy who's ready to throw in there. If Kyle Seager is gone, who's your third baseman?
I don't know. Yeah, that it's a good question. And you know, and again, it'll have to be, and this will be something maybe we can talk to Blowers about when we get him in here. I know that he really likes Kyle, and rightfully so. Both playing, having played third base, but yeah, maybe that's a question for Blowers. What he thinks that the possibility of that happening? I mean, it's not all written in stone. I mean, you know, for us, we're like, yeah, Haniger, Seager, those guys probably not part of the future. Maybe they are.
Maybe the immediate future, like this year and next year.
Right.
I'd like to see them both back, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially in the, again, I'm waiting. You guys can text in the 710-710. If there's somebody you think is a better option, now they could go out and get a free agent or get to trade for somebody that plays third base. But currently within your system, you don't have the push behind Kyle to get, hey, we got to get this young guy in there, the way you feel like with Kelnick, right? Wow, boy. Got to get Kelnick out there, man. He's chomping at the bit. He's ready to go. He's a young superstar in the making. You just don't have it at third base right now.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've thought about, you know, Mitch Haniger being the better trade piece. But, I mean, look, if you've got places to – I mean, you've got Kelenic, you've got Julio Rodriguez, and it's going to be more about them than it is about, you know, Mitch Haniger. It's going to be about their development. And, you know, if Kelenic somehow doesn't make it up to the big leagues this year, which I think he will, but, and, you know, some players like Julio Rodriguez, whatever, aren't panning out the way they want, then, you know, but yeah, the bigger priority, I mean, if you trade away or don't re-sign Kyle Seager, yeah, you don't really have anything unless, you know, you get that in a trade for Mitch Haniger.
Yeah, you get your third baseman of the future potentially, but as it sits right now, the idea of bringing Kyle back makes perfect sense to me. All right, let's take two.
Take two.
All right, you think our postponements were bad the other day. How about this? Mets postponed for the seventh time already this year, this time due to snow and freezing temperatures in Denver. And Red Sox, White Sox also snowed out today. Just closed the roof, right?
Yeah, why would they be snowed out? They got a roof. No roof.
That's right.
These cities with inclement weather, that's weird. It's poor planning, Dave.
I know.
If you're gonna jump in and spend that much money on a new stadium, you know, it seems like, all right, throw a roof on it and it'll be X amount of millions more. But it'll, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what does that mean to the taxpayers already paying for it? Owners get out of this stuff scot-free, and it's a burden on the taxpayers. But how much of a difference is it in the actual amount of taxes being paid? Are you going to notice it? Are we going to notice it? Put a roof on it.
Yeah, there's 6 retractable roofs.
I think so, yeah. And then you've got Tampa, where it's not retractable. It's just...
Yeah, just a roof.
Yeah.
Which, why not? I don't know. I mean, you don't get days like this. And you're spending somebody's money, you know, making them... This is quite a production out here. This whole roof and the way... How long does it take to close? Like 20 minutes or something?
Yeah, 15. I think 15.
Yeah, I think we were out here a couple of times when they've closed it. And it's pretty cool to watch. You ever see Independence Day?
Long time ago.
Remember how those big spaceships would like come and hover over the cities? That's what it looks like when that thing's closing.
It's pretty cool. You don't ever have to worry about a rain out or being snowed out or anything else that's going on in Colorado or Minnesota or wherever.
All right, we now know where the Clowney money is coming from for the Browns. Former Seahawk and former Jets first-round pick Sheldon Richardson was released today. He was set to make $11 million this year.
All right, so I guess Clowney's in. Sheldon, you're out, buddy. He's a guy that, when he came here, I remember he took up, he required a lot of attention, but he didn't produce a lot in the way of stats.
Sheldon Richardson.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just remember people saying, you know what, he's... Yeah, it's not showing up on the stat sheet, but he was actually, I guess the conversation was he was better than what his stats said he was while he was here because of how much attention he was drawing.
Well, he was definitely one of those guys that you can't look at the stats, you had to watch the film. And I did on him, and there was a couple of times where he really did draw a lot of attention. I remember talking to Dan Quinn about this, and I was joking with him, and I was saying, you know, the defensive tackles, the guys inside, they either go straight, right, or left. Come on. You know, and he's like, oh, yeah.
Did you say you go up and smack them on the butt or something? And
yeah. Yeah, Tom Catlin used to say that. They're just like cattle. They'll move. Just swat them on the butt. But, no, if you have somebody that can put up numbers, that's the only time I think that you spend that amount of money, $11 million for a D tackle.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying that now that Jaron Reed's gone. And last year I made the case for him, but, I mean, it's just, to me, it's a good thing he's gone because I have no idea about his decision-making process anymore. He just...
Hurt feelings, he's going to give up over $4 million.
Yeah, $4 or $5 million. Like I said last time we were here and we were talking about it, I said, boy, that could have bought a lot of therapy sessions for him, for his feelings. But, I mean... You look at Sheldon Richardson, if I'm going to put $11 million into somebody, Clowney or Richardson, I'm taking Clowney. I'm taking the edge rusher.
Yep. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate is where you can get more info there. Did the Mariners rotation find its breakout star? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino as we continue live from T-Mobile Park. Mariners taking on the Astros tonight at T-Mobile. A beautiful day. Beautiful day. Hopefully they'll be at capacity, which is still 9,000. And sound like... 39,000, 49,000. I know that the main faces, the players that everybody knows for the Astros aren't going to be here, and Altuve and Springer's gone. He's in Toronto now, and, well, Carlos Correa will be here, but, you know, Bregman's not going to be there. He's the one that I want to feel it the most because he seems the most indignant. He seems the most just kind of smirking, like, big deal. You know what I mean? Kind of sticking it to everybody.
I feel like also that, like, Seattle fans, they want justice.
They should.
You know, I don't know if it's the personality I think of this town is that you want to hold people accountable if they do something wrong.
I think it's a fair town.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair perspective.
I think you reflect the people. You're a man of the people, Bob.
Man of the people. I want justice for the people, Dave. We've all been wronged.
Yeah.
All of us, and I'm speaking as baseball fans, we've been wronged by this Houston Astro team, and I think it's only fair that they pay the price, of which they have not paid yet, Dusty. They have paid no price yet.
I wonder, you know, it's too bad that Marco won't be going in this series.
Oh, I know.
But when he does, because he was very matter-of-fact about that when we interviewed him. This was before last season when we had the press conference, the luncheon that they have. Was in February or January. I remember it because the Packers had just beaten the Seahawks in the playoffs, and in their service was like, looking at me and like smiling.
Grinning.
And but yeah, so it was right about that time. And but yeah, it's we talked to him and he was just very matter of fact about it. He was like, look, this is everything for me. This is everything. My location, where the pitch is going, if they know that's coming, I'm not blowing a 9,900 mile an hour fastball by him. So it's, and again, I think in texted in 710-710, we brought this up the other day. I know we've talked about it in the past. Is there another secret that's more important in sports, in any other sport, that is as important as knowing where the next pitch is going?
I don't think there is. I don't think you could know something about your opposition in any other sport that would help you more than knowing, hey, fastball, you know, up and in, or fastball low and away, or breaking ball, whatever it is.
Right.
I because you talk about it in football, knowing, yeah, okay, we know there it's going to be a swing pass, but you've got 11 guys that have to execute.
Yep.
And basketball, I mean, there's really, we're going pick and roll here. I mean, you play the Jazz, you know it was coming on every single play. So it was up to you to stop it. You knew it was coming, but could you stop it? And the same is true in baseball. I mean, you still have to hit it. You still have to make contact, and it takes a lot of skill to do that. But it's a massive advantage. I can't think of another sport where you know what the opposition's going to do. It's going to help you more than knowing what pitch is coming.
Yeah, and you're right. You still got to hit it, but knowing that it's a fastball, because a lot of it's the timing. You see guys get out in front of a pitch that's a changeup, or they're way behind on a fastball. So, yeah, it's and, you know, it'll be in some range. You know, you still got to, you know, locate it. But if you know it's a fastball, the timing certainly helps.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to seeing these guys on the field. I'm looking forward to getting the green light from the Mariners and our bosses to heckle them. but if I can, I'm hoping the fans that do show up tonight give it their best. I hope they brought their voices, they rested the pipes, and I want them to let the Astros know how they feel about cheating and winning a title doing it. Meanwhile, there could be an X factor in this rotation, a guy we worried about, especially after his first start, but it was a different version of Justin Dunn. I mean, 8 walks in his first start, and we're all going, oh my goodness, that had been his story, command issues. And for him to do that in the first start, everybody's feeling negative, to say the least, pessimistic, whatever you want to say. And he came out, and he was really good in his last start. And you could argue his first walk, he was really squeezed on that one. I don't blame him for that one. So I give him 1 walk in that game. And he had some interesting thoughts after the game. Cut number 3, talked about the mentality he took out there.
Everything today was just, here it is, hit it. It was kind of almost an FU mentality. So 0-0-0-1, I was going to give you one to hit, get ahead, and let my stuff play. So I knew if I can get ahead and expand later, I'd have some success. And honestly, didn't really have put away breaking balls today until later in the game. So, fortunate with the results and just got to keep building off of it.
The FU mentality, I think, is turn your brain off and just go out and let it rip. Yeah, that's, you hear that quite a bit. I was talking about that with, remember Bobby Wagner said that before the San Francisco game, or after the San Francisco game that he had.
Yeah,
one where he had the 2 sacks and quarterback hits, and he was like, "Yeah, just let it happen." Because they were kind of uptight; their defense wasn't playing well, and there was all this hand wringing. And he's like, "Screw it, just go out and, you know, turn it loose." So I like that Justin Dunn. It's an important step for him.
Well, and he could make the argument that, hey, every other start before this, I was out there worried and dialed into every pitch and overthinking every pitch. I mean, what does he have to lose? Because in that hardcore concentration and focus that he had before, he walked 8. So why not go the? I mean, is it going to be worse? You're going to walk 9? Okay. I mean, I don't know what you have to lose at that point. So it sounds like he just kind of got to that point. Like, I can't try harder than I've been trying. I'm gonna just dial it back. I'm just gonna have this mentality, and if they hit it, they hit it, and we're gonna play ball. And it obviously worked out for him. Cut number four, realized his first outing, the one we just talked about with eight walks, was due to the approach he took.
After going back and looking at it, it wasn't so much mechanical. It was more of an approach to my game. Even though the velocity was there, I was still pitching to hit corners and strike people out, and came out today and just wanted to challenge guys. If I was going to come out of this game, you were going to have to hit my stuff. So I had some success with it tonight and going to keep building off of it, and hopefully it carries over for the rest of these to come.
Yeah, and that's kind of dovetails what we were just talking about, that, you know, he was really trying to be precise and exact, and it was biting him in the backside. I mean, it was when you're not – if you're trying to nibble the corners and you're not catching those corners, you're throwing balls. And this team comes in knowing you're a guy that's had command issues. They're going to wait for you to throw them a strike. They're going to make you throw a strike. And when they see you nibbling, that works in their favor. They're going to say, all right, wait him out. Make him put one or two over the plate before you chase anything here, because he's having trouble finding the plate.
Yeah, the calls he got squeezed on, I don't recall.
It was his first walk.
Yeah, I just remember the plate, home plate umpire was all over the place.
Yeah,
with that, that's got to be another part of it too. You get frustrated. And we saw Shoemaker fall apart, a veteran guy, mm-hmm. over that. So, but that's part of it too, and especially for a young guy. And don't you think also that, you know, if you have any kind of complaint or whatever, and you're a young guy, the guy behind the plate, he's probably gonna put more of a squeeze on you.
Oh yeah,
I feel like they get kind of an attitude.
Yeah, they haven't earned their stripes yet.
Right,
the young guy telling me my job. Yeah, that strike zone's going to be the size of a pea,
which I think is hokey.
It is hokey
that happens.
It is hokey, but it's that human element you love, Dave. Love complaining about the umps.
Love it.
All right,
almost as much as watering grass.
Yeah, or listening to this roller out here back up. Somebody texted in saying, "Are you guys broadcasting from a construction zone?" No, it's just somebody out there flattening the dirt with a little.
So that little roller thing, when it goes in reverse, it has to have the beep on it.
Yeah, so it doesn't.
So nobody gets run over.
Yeah, they can hear that. There's a big machine coming my way. I should move. If you don't have the 710 Sports app, you should download it, because A, it's free, and B, it's super convenient. Very easy. You can take us with you. Again, a beautiful day like today. A lot of people are out and about. You could take us with you. You won't miss a thing. Or you can check out the podcast on there. Watch the video. It's all there at your fingertips. So check that out. It's brought to you by Dubin Law Group. All right. It's only going to get better for the Mariners next week, and we'll tell you why. That's coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Beautiful day out here at T-Mobile Park, which is where we are broadcasting from. Dave Wyman just full of envy, jealousy, watching the grounds crew out here working their magic.
Even the guy sweeping the dust off of
the tarp
there. It looks like fun.
It doesn't look like fun.
Sure it does.
He's sweeping.
Yeah, but look at everything, just so beautiful and just controlled. The guy out there, you might hear that smacking sound. They're tamping down the pitching mound. That would be, you know, these guys really got to know what they're doing, man.
Oh, they've got this down. This, I mean, just like, what they do.
When I'm in my backyard digging dirt or planting grass or whatever, it doesn't matter what level it's at or anything like that. These guys, they gotta make sure this is a standardized, you know, Major League Baseball wide. It's a standardized condition of the pitcher's mound.
I wonder if everybody has their specific job. Like, Dave, you're the mound guy. You will always attend to the mound. And somebody else is, you're the outfield guy. You're gonna put the lines in the grass, and you're the home plate. You chalk the field. If they all switch it up, like everybody does everything.
Well, maybe everybody knows everything, but, I mean, you got to be – I'm sure they have specialists. I mean, that's no joke out there.
Specialist.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know their business. They're out there. They're out there handling it like they've done it a time or two. I like the text coming in, 710, 710. They hear the beeping of the roller out there. It says, the 907, LOL, I thought my neighbor's smoke alarm was going off. The 253, I thought the beeping was coming from my side of the radio. He's over there shaking the radio. What's wrong with this thing?
Well, just so people know how exact it is. So they have a tarp over the area of home plate that has dirt.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of dust on top of the on top of the tarp, you would think that they would just sweep that off onto the grass.
No.
They've got a snow shovel out there.
Not a speck of dirt is to enter that grass area.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just everything's so precise.
You know, it's funny. We played, and we'll get into our conversation about the Mariners here in a moment, but I've told you I played in that Dan Wilson celebrity softball thing every year. He had it out here, and it was always so cool to be out here playing softball on Safeco Field. It's the coolest thing ever, but they were very specific. You don't wear cleats. You wear tennis shoes out there.
Right.
They didn't want you chewing up the grass or anything, but they had other, you know, you'd have Randy Johnson out there. One year they had, you know, Gary Payton out there, and Gary was kind of like, bleep you. He gets into the locker room. We're down there in the clubhouse, and he pulls out this brand-new Nike box, brand-new cleats. He takes them out, and everybody kind of looked at him and just, okay, it's Gary. Put on his cleats and ran out there.
Oh, no. Guys are chasing him around, filling in the divots afterwards.
I could just kind of see the grounds crew like, really? Yeah, but, you know, everybody's wearing tennis shoes, and Gary's got this brand-new Nike box, pulls out these shiny new cleats, runs out on the field. But
I'll tell you what, if I won the lottery, we talk about the, you know, $10 million, $100 million, I would go apply to be a groundskeeper, either with the Seahawks or with the Mariners.
Would you want to do the Seahawks field?
Yeah, they do a good job there too, man.
Running around?
Yeah, turf, the dog running around, biting the sprinklers, chasing the crows off the field.
Love watching that.
Yeah, but then they're like that too. I mean, they're very meticulous. We've been out there doing our show in between practices. They're out there filling in divots and fixing every last square inch of that field.
Speaking of the field that we'll be watching Kyle Lewis play on, how about that? Kyle Lewis, we kind of forget about him, Rookie of the Year. Has not played a moment yet this season, but cut number 5, Jerry DePoto, optimistic he's going to be back in time for this Dodgers series.
Yeah, Kyle's doing great. He's now taking at bats at our alt site and he's running well. I think he feels good, which is the most important thing. And we're not expecting him back for the weekend versus the Astros, but right now we're very optimistic that we're going to get him back for that Dodgers series, and or at least a portion of it. And be ready to go. So should see Kalu early next week, and fingers crossed for the remainder of the year.
Kalu, Dave.
Kalu.
Kalu back for the Dodgers series. It'll be great to, A, have that bat in the lineup, and, B, just to have him back in the outfield. Very good defender. Very good all-around player. Now, he's a guy we were wondering about Mitch Haniger. How much time is it going to take him to get ramped up, get up to speed? He's got more experience, certainly, so maybe that helped him, and just to jump right back in. Kyle Lewis, I'm going to take the same approach and hopefully be pleasantly surprised as I was with Mitch Haniger. I'm not going to expect him to come out and go on 2-for-4 every night. I think realistically I'm expecting him to struggle a bit, wait to get his timing back, and, you know, eventually he'll start to resemble what he did last season.
Should call him Roy Rookie of the Year. Yeah, Roy. You look at all the time when you go to Baseball Reference, and it'll say, you know, Rookie of Year voting, All-Star voting, MVP, and it'll have your rank. This is Roy 1, Rookie of the Year. So fantastic to get him back, and it'll just feel so much different because, and we talked about it with Mitch Haniger and how the crowded outfield is starting to come our way. So as soon as we can see. I'm excited to see when they start playing the minor league games and get Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez going and seeing those guys produce some stats. You know, that's something that we didn't have last year because of the alt site.
Yeah, yeah. And Kelnick made it pretty clear how he felt about the alternate site.
It was not rainbows and lollipops or whatever he said.
I still think there was something to gain from it as much as he sort of downplayed any sort of positive to it. I think there are things to be learned and gained from that. But, yeah, playing against other opposition, playing against guys that aren't in Mariner uniforms and real games, that's going to be big. That's going to be big for the development of those guys. But I'm excited to see Kyle Lewis because, you know, when the team's doing well, which they are, you're talking about a first-place team right now, they're not a big part of the conversation. The missing members tend to be more of a conversation when things aren't right. And you're going, ugh. Can't wait till Kyle Lewis gets back and they can finally find a way to score some runs or, you know, defense in the outfield, whatever the problems are or why they're losing. That's when you really start leaning on who's gone. As opposed to now, we haven't spent a lot of time talking about Kyle because you're focused on what's been going right here, which a lot of things have been going right.
Well, it's funny how out of sight, out of mind can really, you know, take its toll. You just, we're watching the guys that are here. I've loved watching Taylor Trammell out in center field. He's been really good. But, yeah, Kyle Lewis was just so good last year. I'm trying to remember, was it the same knee or was it a different?
Same knee.
It was the same knee that he had the bone bruise on. So I don't know that I ever had that, but at least he didn't tear anything. And, you know, he had a full season last year and made some spectacular plays out there in the field. So I feel like it's not like he's going to relapse in any way mentally. Because once you get past that, you know, having a knee repaired and then, you know, being able to test it and be confident that you can plan on it and jump and possibly crash into a wall, I feel like he got through that part and he's not going to have to go through that again.
Yeah, and by the way, any of you at home feel like dancing, feel free. We're providing the soundtrack here for you. They're testing better than the PA system here.
Better than the beeping.
Yeah, I'll take this over the beeping. We're providing all kinds, just all the sights and sounds of the ballpark coming to you live on the Wyman and Bob show today. All right, we need suggestions. We need to hear some clever, clean, because if I'm going to be allowed to use them, and we still haven't determined if that's the case or not, how would you heckle this Astros team? What would you say if you knew you had their ear, that they could hear you? What would you say that wouldn't get you kicked out of the ballpark or wouldn't get me kicked off the air? What would you say? Give me something creative, something funny, something good. 710-710. We're going to talk about that coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.